We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
If you'd be turning with me to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. The Bible says, "And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works which the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth." Here in these several verses, we have the story recorded for us of three generations. Look at verse 7. In verse number 7, we have recorded the first generation, which is Joshua's generation. It says, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua." But then we're talking about a second generation. Verse 7 says about the second generation, "The people served the Lord all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua." But then, we're talking about a third generation. Notice what it says about the third generation. "There arose a generation after them, which knew not the Lord." Here in these few verses, we have a picture painted for us of God's people, God's chosen people. And we have a picture painted when they were at their height. We have a picture painted for us of a faithful, God-fearing, morally upright people. We have a picture painted for us of a strong and a knowledgeable people. But in just a couple of generations, we see a transition from a great people of God to a godless, morally degenerate nation. But when I look at these verses, I see more than just history. I see more than just the history of the nation of Israel recorded for us. When I look at these verses here in Joshua chapter 2, I see the Lord's church in the 20th century. And some of you know what I'm talking about because you can remember the day when the Lord's church was a strong and a mighty people. You remember in years past, we saw the Lord's church as strong and numerous and active and growing. But today, in many places, we see the Lord's church just existing. We see the Lord's church struggling. And in many places, we see the Lord's church dwindling in number. You know, I believe we have here in Judges chapter 2, when I look at this chapter, I see a pattern for apostasy. You know, if we look at this, we can see the pattern that will destroy God's people. And if I can echo the words of Brother Guy in Woods, those who do not learn from history the mistakes of earlier generations are destined to repeat them. Brother, we have here recorded for us the things that cause God's people, the nation of Israel, the things that cause them to go astray. We have here recorded for us the things that cause them to be destroyed. Now, why are these things here? Is it an accident? Were they here just to fill space? Well, of course not. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 says, "Now these things happened unto them by way of example, and are written for our admonition." In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it talks about the things that were recorded for us in the Old Testament, and it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." So why are these things recorded for us? They're recorded for our learning. So what is it we're supposed to learn when we open our Bible and turn to Judges chapter 2? What is it that we're supposed to learn from this text? Well, I tell you what I see in this text, in Judges chapter 2. I tell you, I see a strong people. I see a faithful people of God who allowed certain things to creep in on them and eventually led them to forsake the Lord. Now, brethren, it ought to be clear what it is that we're supposed to learn from these passages. It ought to be very clear to us. We are to learn from this passage not to let the same thing happen to us that happened to them. Now, for the next several minutes this evening, I want first to look at this passage. And I want for us to pick out some things, and I want for us to discuss some things that will destroy a congregation of the Lord's people. And I want for us to think about these things very seriously, because I believe that the brotherhood as a whole, today the brotherhood as a whole is somewhere between the second and the third generation. This evening we are going to look at some things that will destroy a congregation of the Lord's people. Point number one. A thing that will destroy a congregation of the Lord's people is ignorance. Ignorance will destroy a congregation. In the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6, the Lord said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." When a congregation gets in a situation of ignorance, it will destroy them. Look here in Judges chapter 2. We are told that there were two generations who were faithful, and then we're told that they died. The text says that they were gathered unto their fathers. But look what happens after this. The text says, "And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, neither the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." What was the problem with this third generation? Notice what the text says. They knew not. The problem with this generation was ignorance. We're told three things about them. Number one, they knew not God. Number two, they knew not the works which he had done for Israel. And number three, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Brethren, this should be a wake-up call for us. Ignorance will destroy a people of God. When we raise up a generation that is ignorant of the things of God, we have raised up a generation that is going to go astray. When we raise up a generation, when we have not taught our new converts, when we are not training our children in the Word of God, when we are not training others to participate and take an active role in the worship services, when we are not teaching by our own examples, when we are not training up our sons to be elders in the Lord's church, when we are not training them to be deacons and preachers and leaders of God's people, when we are not training up our young ladies to be leaders of the women and to be Bible class teachers, when we are not passing on the fundamentals of the gospel to the next generation, we are raising up a generation which will know not the Lord. Today, 1997, I think that we could rewrite this verse and say it this way. "And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor the church for which he died." As you have read this passage here in the past in Judges chapter 2, have you ever wondered how it is that a faithful generation could raise up an unfaithful generation? How could that be? It seems strange. How could a faithful people raise up an unfaithful people, a people that knew not the Lord? Well, you know, I think it's easier for us to see when we bring it down home, when we bring it to our time. Because there are many people sitting here in the audience this evening who are representative of that second generation. You sat at the feet of great leaders, great gospel preachers. You lived through a time when the church was strong and vibrant and rapidly growing. You yourself are firmly grounded in the truth. And you would not even for a moment think about leaving the Lord's church, much less joining a denomination. You would not consider it. In fact, you would rather die than such to be the case. But there is a frightening possibility that we have not been teaching the truth to the third generation with sufficient clarity and emphasis to guard it against eventual apostasy. Rather, we must not let ourselves forget that every generation must have all of the truth taught to it over and over and over again, or else departure and apostasy is inevitable. I want to read you a quote from Brother Guyon Woods. Brother Guyon Woods has now gone on to enter the world. But he wrote this several years ago. He said, "A half a century ago, from our pulpits throughout the land, with the rarest exception, a message of power and purity rang out sharply and clearly, and members of the church were traditionally famous for knowing the book and for their readiness to defend and uphold it. Basic and fundamental teaching was the order of the day. No uncertain sound was tolerated. False teachers were quickly exposed and rejected. Sadly, this is far from the case in our day. How often do you hear sermons these days on the distinctive characteristics of the churches of Christ? The differences which obtain between truth and error. The sinfulness of denominationalism. listen to a stirring discourse on what must I do to be saved, on the identity of the New Testament church, on the work of the Holy Spirit in conviction, conversion, and sanctification, on the new birth, and many other thrilling themes which characterize our preaching in a generation gone by. Brethren, ignorance will destroy a congregation of the Lord's people. And we need to think about it. We need to ask ourselves. We need to think about our children. We need to think about our grandchildren. We need to think about our great-grandchildren. We need to ask ourselves, the congregation that we were a part of, is it still going to be here when they are grown? You know, there are many congregations in the brotherhood today who are just existing. They're just keeping house. They're just biding their time until they slowly dwindle away. Ignorance will kill a congregation of the Lord's people. The Lord said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let me tell you a second thing that will destroy a congregation of the Lord's people. A second thing that will destroy a congregation of the Lord's people is lack of leadership. If you want to destroy any group of people in a hurry, you give them a poor leader. You want to destroy a group of people, you take a man who is a poor example and you make him their leader and you see how long they last. Just look at the kings. Look in the book of Kings at the Lord's people. What happened when they got a poor king? The people did evil in the sight of the Lord. If you want to destroy an army, you give them poor leaders. If you want to destroy a nation, if you want to corrupt a nation, you give it poor leadership. Notice here in Judges chapter 2 what it says about leadership. Look at verse 7. It says, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. You know, Joshua, no doubt, was one of the greatest leaders that the nation of Israel had ever known. And through these verses, I think we can see the far-reaching influence of such a great man as Joshua. But you know, a body, a congregation that does not have good leadership is not going to have what they have here. I think these verses here about Joshua stand as testimony of what good leadership will do. You know one thing that a good leader will do? One thing that a good leader will do for his people is he will know how to recognize danger and he will remove it from in front of them. A good leader will recognize the danger of ignorance. A good leader will know that ignorance is detrimental to a congregation of the Lord's people. And because of that, he will remove it out of the way. That's why I'm not surprised at all when I read 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. One of the qualifications for the Lord's leaders in the church, we call them elders. One of the qualifications for elders is that they have to be men who are apt to teach. That doesn't mean all they might teach, they might not. That means they are able, they are capable of teaching. Why? It does away with ignorance. You know, it's not surprising when we read Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The Apostle Paul was addressing the elders of the church of Ephesus, and he told them that they were to feed the church of God. Does that mean he was to give them fried chicken? No, not physical food. He was to give them spiritual nourishment. Why? Ignorance will destroy a congregation of the Lord's people. Lack of leadership will destroy a congregation of the Lord's people. Let me ask you this. What would happen if leaders did not remove dangers and stumbling blocks from in front of people? We don't have to wonder because we've seen it take place in many congregations. The same thing that would happen is the same thing that would happen if a shepherd did not remove the dangers from in front of his sheep. If a shepherd went out into the field and he saw wolves and he decided, I'm going to go on about my way, what would happen? Poor leadership will destroy a congregation. Point number 3. Ignorance will destroy a congregation. Poor leadership or lack of leadership will destroy a congregation. And number 3, worldliness will destroy a congregation of the Lord's people. What was it that ultimately brought down the downfall, caused the downfall of the nation of Israel? Now we said, we already introduced the fact it started with ignorance. Look down at verse 11, Joshua chapter, or Judges 2. We are told in verse 11, they served Baal. Look at verse number 12. It says, they followed after other gods. The gods of the people that were round about them. They got mixed up with the world. They got mixed up with those things that were surrounding them. These people ultimately fell because they got entangled with the world. Now, when God's people first came into the promised land, what was the thing that the Lord told them to do? He said, you go in and you drive out those people. You get the heathen nations out of there. But they didn't do it. They allowed them to remain. They tolerated them, and eventually it got to the point where they accepted their ungodliness. And they became like the nations round about them. You know, we can learn a lesson from Israel, because the Lord has told us a very similar thing. He has told us to drive the worldliness out of our lives. You say, where? Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. He said, drive out the worldliness. Now what if we choose to be like the Israelites and let those things remain? What if we choose to just tolerate them and accept them? Well, then we can learn a lesson from Israel, because we are going to suffer the same fate that they did. Worldliness can destroy a congregation of the Lord's people. Let me make another very important point. Tolerating sin in the Lord's church will destroy a congregation of the Lord's people. Somebody says, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is this. When a local congregation has members who are living in sin, and a congregation chooses to do nothing about it, mark this, they are slowly killing that congregation. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that they may be a new lump. The Apostle Paul was saying, if you let a little sin remain, the church is going to grow. It's going to corrupt the whole body. He said it's going to spread. Therefore, he said, purge it out. Get rid of it. In other words, do not tolerate sin in the Lord's church. I want to read you some verses. I want you to consider how the Lord feels about sin in His church. How the Lord feels about spot and blemish in His church. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it might be holy and without blemish. Now, what do you think the Lord thinks when we tolerate sin in this body that He gave Himself for? That it might be holy and without blemish. Brethren, if you want to slowly corrupt a congregation of the Lord's people, you let sin remain. Point number four. A fourth thing that will kill a congregation of the Lord's people is apathy. And by that, I just mean a lack of concern. I just mean I don't care syndrome. Sometimes we refer to these people as bench warmers. You know, if you want something that will kill a congregation in a hurry, you bring in a good dose of apathy. When a congregation gets to the point where the members do not care, that congregation ceases to live. Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, the Lord was writing to the church at Sardis. Listen to what He said to the church at Sardis. He said, I know thy works. Thou hast a name that liveth, but thou art dead. What did He mean by that? You have a name that is alive. Your name lives. What He meant was, apparently, to other people, they looked like they were alive. It might have been when people came by the building and saw them meeting, they thought, wow, there's a lot of people there. They're alive. They might have seen them out doing things together and looking like they were having fun, and they said, wow, they're alive. But the Lord knew differently. He said, you're dead. Apparently, the church in Sardis, apparently the members there had lost their zeal. Apparently, they had lost their enthusiasm. Apparently, they had left their first love. Perhaps, we might say, they had become apathetic. I don't know. We might say maybe its members decided they didn't want to teach. Maybe the men of the congregation just wanted to sit in the pew, did not want to participate in the worship services. Maybe they paid a man to do their preaching and their teaching. They had a couple of men employed on the staff, and they thought, well, they'll do the work. And they sat back and did nothing. Maybe there was just the same few people who did everything in the congregation every week, while other people sat back in the pews and said, well, that's not my talent. I don't know. Perhaps that was the case. But I do know this for a fact. Apathy will kill a congregation of the Lord's people. When people actively beg just to get them to come to the worship service, when people let their comfort or their pride, when their comfort or their pride is greater than their desire to serve the Lord, when people don't want to study the Word, when people are not preparing the next generation, when spiritual growth is not occurring in a congregation, we are just biding our time until we die. Apathy will kill a congregation of the Lord's people. Point number five, the blessing of worship. A fifth thing that will kill a congregation of the Lord's people is a lack of love. You know, when a congregation does not love the Lord with all of its heart, with all of its mind, with all of its strength, with all of its soul, that congregation is a hurting one. When a congregation of the Lord's people does not love one another, that congregation is a suffering one. When a congregation does not love the purity of the gospel, that congregation is a sick one. And when a congregation does not have a love for lost souls, it is a dying one. Brethren, there are congregations all over the brotherhood today who for all practical purposes are dead. They're just keeping house. They're riding out their days until all the remainder of the faithful are gone. Let us not be among those congregations. Judges chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done in Israel." These are sad words to read, but they're even sadder words to experience. Let it not happen to us. This evening we want to take a moment. There may be some here this evening who have not been living as they should. Perhaps they have been apathetic. Perhaps they have been unconcerned about their Christian life. Perhaps they have never obeyed the gospel of Christ. We want to take a moment and to pay some attention to you. You need to know this evening, if you are not a member of the Lord's church, that the Bible teaches you need to hear the gospel. You need to believe. You need to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be immersed in water for the remission of sins. And from that point on, you need to live faithfully unto death so that you may receive that crown of life. If you're ready to do that this evening, we're ready to help you. If you're here this evening, you're a member of the Lord's church and you've been unfaithful. Perhaps you've been unfaithful in attendance. Perhaps you sinned in a public manner and brought reproach upon yourself and upon the Lord's church. You'd like to take care of that publicly. We're ready to help you.